It's got a death curse.
Don't bother me, be like me. And then who will help you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
You have an active imagination, eh? That's good. And you come to the right house.
Oh, that you have.
The beginning of this film is taken right out from 1932's The Old Dark House, which was like one of Boris Karloff's first films.
Okay.
Daddy, Rosemary, the owl's got one of the girls.
Oh my god, what the fuck?
Oh, that baby must have been an asshole.
I'm like, oh my god. Like, what the fuck is going on here? What is this old lady doing? Ow! I love the reaction, like, oh! And then they look down at what's going on, and it cuts to,
this is fun!
She comes across as less in pain and more offended. How dare you touch me?
How dare you try to sever me at the ankle?
How dare you press me, Lutzmold Skay?
There are some crazy toys down there that can kill people.
Don't hand me that shit.
No, honest to God, I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen it, but they've captured me.
Oh, yeah?
This is a guilty pleasure of mine. Like, as a horror fan, this is about as light a horror as you can get. This one right here.
The weather brings out creativity. It helps me in my work.
What kind of work is that? Witchcraft?
Close to it.
I like at the end, he's like, you old witch? She's like, he figured it out.
It's a lucky guess.
God, I think it was right. The little people. They're fucking dolls.
I think this whole movie is bringing out the kid in all of us. Yeah. We're all being silly.
I feel like a kid at heart. Oh, let's play with toys.
Everybody.
Because if we don't, it means our fucking asses.
Why don't you show our guests to their rooms, Gabriel?
All right. Let's get you people settled in.
Master! Master!
Hello, folks. This is Cash Wampum welcoming you back to the Horror 101 podcast. This is episode 77. We've got some light entertainment for you this time around. But before we get started, I want to apologize in advance. We had some audio problems this time on the recording session. Here's what happened. We record the show on Windows 10. We use two Yeti microphones. You probably already know that. And just before we recorded this show, there was a huge update to Windows 10. Like, huge. And it completely fucked my entire audio profile. Playback devices, recording devices, all of them reset. So we set everything up. I recognized what was going on. We tested the microphone, and it sounded fine on the playback. But for some reason, about 10 minutes into the session, something went stupid. So during the show, some of us are going to sound like we're in an echo chamber. Again, I apologize. I initially thought, let's just scrap the show, but I'm like, no, I can't do that. We got to press on. So there it is.
Hey, why don't you get yourself some professional equipment, you cheap fuck?
Help is easy.
Deal. That wasn't nice.
For our 77th episode, we're going back to 1987 and covering another Charles Band production, a quaint little horror movie called Dolls. Directed by Stuart Gordon, produced by Brian Usna. It's light, it's fun, and it's a quick watch in only 77 minutes. But before we start playing with our toys, the new Halloween trailer came out a few days before we recorded, so I asked the crew to hold off on watching it until we were all together, because I wanted to get our initial reaction and thoughts on the upcoming film.
Yeah, I mean, your grandmother is Laurie Strode. She was almost murdered.
Wasn't it her brother who murdered all those babysitters?
No, it was not her brother. That's something that people made up.
Do you know that I pray every night that he would escape?
What the hell did you do that for?
So I can kill him.
believe in the boogeyman?
He's here!
Michael! You should.
Do we need this film?
No.
Do we need this fucking film? Of all things, you know what this is going to do, okay? And I was talking to Brian Horvath about this before. Of all the things that they've done, they had a timeline that suggested that Laurie Strode was dead. After part two, and they made part three, the Jamie Lloyd 4, 5, and 6, Laurie Strode was dead. Then H2O came back and said, fuck all the Jamie Lloyd shit. Laurie Strode's alive, and she's going to kick some ass. And then she takes off his head, but it wasn't really him, and she goes nuts, and then he finally kills her, and then all of a sudden he's up against Busta fucking Rhymes. Are you digging me on this?
Yeah.
And then after that, it was Rob Zombie making two films that are basically a remake of 1 and 2. And that'll probably be a different show, but fuck those movies.
Yep.
Fuck Rob Zombie and his Halloween. That's just my opinion. Now we've got this movie coming in, and this movie, what this movie is going to do, it's going to make all of us old fans who've grown up liking Halloween 1 and 2, it's going to force us to say, take number 2 and throw it away. I'm not prepared to do that, and that's what this movie is going to ask me to do as a fan. Number 2, which is one of the best sequels ever to any horror film, is now taken out of the canon.
They implied in the trailer that he was shot by a psychiatrist and then immediately captured, which means everything that follows him falling out the window and disappearing never happened, right?
Well, they already said. They already said this is a direct sequel to part 1.
But part 2 is a direct sequel of part fucking 1. Night. That's the same night. Yeah. So how are they going to cut that in half and say that never happened? Scene.
Like, part 1 ends with looking at the empty lawn.
Yeah.
And then part 2 begins looking at the empty lawn. Yeah. Right? So...
No, part 2 begins with Dick Warlock and that fucking sweet-ass stunt of his jumping off the fucking balcony backwards. Of course, yeah. And the music was better, the whole nine yards. The only thing wrong with part 2 is that the mask was a little bit different and her hair was completely different. Other than that, I believe it was the same fucking evening.
Yeah.
It was a continuation of that story. Michael gets shot 6 times, he's on the ground, he gets up, he walks away. Beginning of part 2 is, holy fuck, I just shot him 6 times and he walked away. Let's continue. And they want to take that away from me? No.
Yeah. Man wouldn't do that. This isn't a man.
They were obviously directly trying to step on beats from the original. The kids are trick-or-treating, they run chest first into Michael Myers.
Yeah.
That was in the first one.
Yes.
Her standing, shooting towards the window, is like Loomis in the first one, shooting towards Michael. The same idea. Like,
do you believe in the boogeyman?
Yeah. Like, they're obviously just, people like this scene from 78, so let's just put it in this one.
Yeah. And obviously they're good. It's a movie from 2018, so the woman's got to rock and kick ass, because we're all about that now, right? But I watched part 2 the other night, and I watched Laurie Strode put 2 fucking bullets in his fucking eyes.
Yeah.
How much more kick ass can you get from that?
You know what? She was still badass, but she was just an ordinary woman trapped in a closet where she thought fast and stabbed her with a coat hanger. That's more empowering. Like, she's using her head. She's fucking smart.
She survived it.
She survived that night. That coat hanger means more to me than that shotgun in that trailer.
I'm watching this trailer and I'm almost of the opinion that I don't want to watch it ever. Like, never.
You'll see it.
You have to see it.
Don't tell me what I have to do, noob!
Alright, we saw Phantasm 5.
So here comes my question. How many of us are actually legitimately surprised?
That this is happening?
Yes. That's happening like that we can see from the trailer.
You know what? That they're skipping part 2 surprises me, because it was so widely beloved by fans.
But if you include part 2, she shoots him in the eyeballs, so unless he's got, like, a reinforced
skull. And then he's blown up, but then he comes back, right?
But that's what I mean. It's like, but I'm not surprised. Any direct continuation after that long of a stretch, how often does that actually work out?
It didn't work for Indiana Jones. It didn't work for Phantasm. It didn't work for Ghostbusters.
But I mean, look,
it doesn't.
Halloween's timeline has been so fucking beaten and fucking donkey punched. It's not even fun. Carpenter's like, I'll do the music for it. And he's like, they want to do a sequel to the first movie. And the guys that are writing the score, they really get it. He's like, they really get it. And it's like, and you get a fucking paycheck, Carpenter.
That's all it is.
Come on. Don't fucking tell me you're not playing the businessman here. When's the last time you made a fucking movie? Like, seriously.
That's the problem is they're looking at it, they're for a money grab. They're looking to make this. They're making a Halloween movie. They're not actually focused on making a good movie.
Well, then, if that's the case, then the people who say hate are going to hate.
Yeah.
You know, will fuck themselves because they're not making this film for any fucking artistic merit.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's the same problem they have with Solo. They were so intent on riding off to make a Han Solo movie, they never actually stopped to realize, is there really any story that really needs to be told?
The real problem is that producers nowadays want to save as much money as possible, and if they can promote an IP that everybody already knows, they don't have to put much money into promotion.
Especially a cheap IP that's been beat to fuck over the last couple decades, yeah. So they probably got the rights really cheap.
It's over. Yes. Michael Myers is in hell, buried where he belongs.
It looked like a safe haven from the raging storm.
It's an odd kind of place. Where'd your folks get it from, Boris Karloff?
Their hosts seemed like the essence of hospitality.
You can stay here as long as you like.
Wonderful.
But appearances can be very deceiving.
Pleasant dreams.
Dolls. You're never too old to play with dolls. Until you're dead. Dolls.
Now that I've gotten all my hate out of the way, let's go on to something fun. Let's go on to something fun.
You want to talk about Stuart Gordon?
Yes.
We like Stuart Gordon.
I always said... These two on about... I always said in the 80s, if you had a Stuart Gordon directed film... Brian Usmith produced film, it was gold. You couldn't do wrong. And this was a Channel 20, Channel 50 favorite. Fun, like fun horror film. And only 77 minutes, Dolls. Stuart Gordon's Dolls. Everybody has to have seen this film.
I saw it on Channel 20.
I just saw it a couple weeks ago.
Oh shit, if I have seen it, yeah, it would have been Channel 20.
It's Stuart Gordon with his usual elements. The only thing that this movie's missing is Jeffrey Combs, but it does have Guy Rolfe, who's a veteran actor. He was Toulon in Puppet Master 3. Okay. He was Mr. Sardonicus from the 60s. One setting, one evening films, you know, it's up to, like, so Night of the Demons kind of deal. Not as fun as Night of the Demons, but for the first 10 times I saw this film, it was cut to shit. And then I finally rented it and got some of the gore that was supposed to be in it. And they actually shot a lot more gore for it because the producers were like, let's get some more gore in this film. Because, like, this was a guy that did Reanimator and From Beyond and shit like that. A little bit more gruesome stuff. So they shot the gore, and then they watched it, and they're like, it doesn't match the tone of the film. So they took it out. So there is some violence and gore in it, but they tried to go for over the top. And they're like, no, it doesn't. They spent the money on it, and they're like, it doesn't match the film. We got to take it out.
Damn it!
Careful of the mud, dear.
Jesus!
Daddy, stop swearing! Mommy says it's not nice to swear. But Mommy's dead.
Well, Mommy's not here now.
But
Judith.
Rosemary.
That's Mama Rosemary.
You're not my mother.
Thank God. Unless you plan on levitating this thing, I think it's here to stay.
Oh, damn.
I'm gonna kill that kid.
Stand in line.
Alright, let's go to the beginning. So you got father and his wife, both despicable. They got this little girl with them, and they get stuck in the mud. This film, the beginning of this film is taken right out from 1932's The Old Dark House, which was like one of Boris Karloff's first films.
Okay.
Black and white, like it was right after they started making talking pictures. It was a horror movie where there's three people in a car, and they're driving on this mud road, rain, wind, you name it, and the road's about to just swallow them whole. And out of the darkness comes this house with this light. They're like, okay, we're going there or else we're going to die. It's right out of that.
Leave that thing here.
Teddy and I go everywhere together. We're best friends.
Come on!
Not this time, Tootsie.
You'll travel faster solo.
Can't get you for that.
The one misstep that's kind of weird that could have destroyed the film was the whole teddy bear daydream that she has when the step monster throws the teddy bear and she daydreams of this bear coming out of the woods, turning into this monster and killing her parents. Like, that seemed like it could be over the top hokey, and it's right at the beginning of the film.
Right.
Well, your thoughts. It does
like, that was great. I'm sorry, I like that. What? But it's a little girl's imagination, so the fact that it wasn't perfectly realistic worked.
I agree.
That it was a dated special effect actually sold the scene.
I was just about to say that before you did. Yep.
Horror by way of a 7-year-old child's imagination.
Yep, the imagination. Yeah.
But when she's like, oh, Teddy, after she just mercilessly ripped her parents apart, he's like, eh, he just shrugs, eh, what do you want?
He's like, I'm sorry.
I thought it was hilarious. And you know what? It sets the tone for the movie. It tells me right from the get-go, this is not going to be a serious film. This is not going to be wholly terrifying. And I think it sets the tone early on, and I like it.
Quit moaning about that toy and get moving.
What is holding you two up?
Your kid is daydreaming again.
I have to say, the old man and woman, I love the chemistry they had was really good. I think they were directed well. Yeah. Even from the first, like, when he comes down on him with a shotgun, he's like, what the fuck are you not doing not using the front door?
Much as we love visitors, we do prefer them to use the front door.
The front door is locked and no one answered. And we were awfully wet.
Oh, poor dear.
And it's the girl that saves their ass.
The girl comes from around, and it's like, I'm sorry, the front door was locked, and we were awfully wet. And they both kind of look at each other like, oh, little girl. Okay, everything's cool.
You chose an unusual spot for a vacation, David.
Tell me about it.
Unusual, but rich in adventure and beauty.
How do you stand the weather?
Oh, we're used to these storms.
The weather brings out creativity. It helps me in my work.
What kind of work is that? Witchcraft?
Close to it.
It set the tone for the couple. And that was the moment that I'm like, okay, even if the rest of this movie is a massive dog turd, I like them. Just that dramatic pause, look at each other, like just the way the synchronicity of the facial expression changed, them looking at each other, and then looking back, and then breaking into the, the disarming laughter.
Hillary and I, where are my manners? I am Gabriel Hartwick, and this is my wife, Hillary. Mm.
David Bauer, this is my wife, Rosemary, and my daughter,
Judy.
That's not my real mother. My real mother lives in Boston.
I am a doll maker. I make the most wonderful toys. Dolls, puppets, soldiers, ballerinas. But nowadays, people seem to want their playthings mass-produced. Nobody wants dolls that are special anymore, that are one of a kind.
I do.
Yes, I believe you do.
And Guy Wolf's been in, like, dozens and dozens of films, very established actor. And if you look on his IMDb, the main IMDb picture of this guy is from Dolls.
Excuse us. My name is Ralph. Ralph Morris. These girls, they were just hitchhiking in, so I picked them up.
Picked us up? Trying to catch some talent, huh, Ralph?
They're just kidding.
My name is Gabriel. My wife, Hillary. David, Rosemary, and Judy.
Okay.
Oh, jeez. I haven't seen a punch doll since I was a kid.
You like toys?
This is Isabel, and I'm Enid.
Well, you're all welcome to stay the night until the storm settles down. Oh. Why don't you show our guests to their rooms, Gabriel?
All right. Let's get you people settled in.
So this mansion now has 6 guests. We have the charming little Judy with her extremely unlikable parents, and now the gentle giant Ralph has dropped by with his 2 hitchhikers, a pair of punks who are indignant and rude as soon as they burst through the door. So this movie clearly tells you, you're going to like these people here, and you're going to hate these people here. And all 6 of these individuals are staying the night, unwittingly. and a mansion whose sole purpose is to ultimately test one's character, and those that fail the test are in for hard times.
You know what? I have to give it points for things like this. There were ways where they saved themselves money, but still conveyed a good scene when they were accosting the first girl in the black, the real shithole girl.
Right.
Now, like, when the dolls came alive and attacked her, you didn't see one doll from her falling down, nope, being dragged across the floor, nope, being stretched out crucifixion style, and being rammed into the wall four times. You didn't, and then out in the hall, right, her asking the kid for help and being dragged away. You didn't see one fucking doll throughout the entire, right, scene. But that's, I was point, sold. I knew what was happening, well, to her, but I was sold.
Because at that point, you weren't entirely sure if, like, there was something other than the dolls. Because you saw
you
the thing,
hear them.
But you could see the thing in the basement with the glowing eyes.
Right.
When they first got in, so you're like, is there something else there as well?
Well, I mean, the movie's called Dolls, so I'm pretty sure it was the dolls that have been looking at these two girls like, you're a piece of shit. You know, with the eyes, don't like these people right here. So obviously it was the dolls. You didn't show that doll. Carrie Lorraine was the little girl, Judy, and when they shot that scene, they made her watch them put the girl in black in makeup.
Yeah, okay.
They're like, they sat her down, like, okay, and they put the makeup on her so that when they shot the scene, she wasn't freaked out how she looked.
Funny enough, there was another trivia point where apparently she was terrified of the giant teddy bear.
Oh, really?
And so the crew, they kept as she was walking through the house, they kept having the miniature teddy bear with them, growling out in the darkness to freak her out and through the house. So on one hand, they're really, really nice to her, on the other hand, they're fucking with her massively.
Judy, you just about gave me a heart attack.
I have to ask you a question.
Yeah?
Do you trust kids?
Okay, let me guess. You got something to tell me, right?
One of those girls you brought here with you?
Yeah.
She's gone.
Gone? Gone where?
They dragged her into a room. She was screaming and kicking and bleeding.
Who did? Who dragged her away?
The elves.
Oh, Judy.
This isn't a fairy tale. This is real.
He comes across as very sympathetic, and I like the chemistry between him and the girl. Some of the lines she has could have been over the top, but she comes across as such a genuine kid. Like, her scripting doesn't seem like too smart. Like, she's not too smart for her age. Her rambling and kind of babbling about her stories and the elves comes across as a genuine 7-year-old girl.
It's very age appropriate.
Yes, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Judy.
Yes, ma'am?
What's that on your slippers?
I don't know.
That's blood.
Yeah, well, it was pretty bloody when they dragged her away.
You weren't kidding, were you? Judy.
Yes, Ralph?
Can you show me where it happened?
I guess so.
Okay. Okay. Let's go.
I like when they were looking for the girl. He's like, are you sure it was here? She's like, what do you want from me? I'm 7 years old.
Yeah.
I think it was around here.
You're not sure?
What do you want from me? I'm 7 years old.
That scene where they're up in the attic and they don't see her girl,
yeah, she's just
her friend in the shadows, and she's like horrifically being transformed into a doll behind them, strapped to that chair, but they don't see her, well, and she can't make a sound.
At that point, we don't even know she's entirely in silhouette. You just see the hands doing like the.
Yeah. Well, the face was different.
Yeah.
Face,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And if you look at the poster for Dolls, it's a doll holding up her eyes with her eye sockets, right, empty. And one of the producers, like, they had pretty much full range of, like, just make the movie whatever you want to do, but once they saw that poster art, that cover art, they're like, we want that in the movie, you have to do that at some point, so they wrote that in.
I like where she's feeling her, holding her eyes,
that's where her eyes fall out, she's holding them up.
I like where she feels her own for the first second.
Yeah.
She doesn't know where they are.
She finds, like, the one pretty much right away, but then it's the second one's just like
kind of out of reach.
Yeah.
Alright, look, you know what I'm gonna do when we get out of here? Ship the kid back to Boston. Screw the divorce settlement. Hey, we're young. We're rich.
I'm rich.
We're in the prime of our lives. Who needs an anchor, huh?
Yeah, we could be in Monte Carlo right now if it wasn't for the twerp.
Yeah.
I'd love to sit down with Stuart Gordon, and because the stepmother there is, and we've seen her before,
yeah,
Carolyn Bertie
wife
Gordon,
or something, right?
Bertie Gordon.
Yeah. Married to Stuart Gordon. Stuart Gordon since 1968.
Are they still married?
Yeah.
I'd love to be in and say, what's the deal? You know, like, when you started making films, I need a bitch. Oh, my wife, of course! Who the fuck would do that? But seriously, but it works so well. And if I ever met her, I'd be like, you know what, don't take this the wrong way, but I've hated you for 3 decades, man. Like, every time I see you, it's like, oh, fuck, she's a bitch. And she'd probably love that. It started with Reanimator, From Beyond, this film. The only exception is the Pendulum, where she plays more of a sympathetic character.
Right.
Because she's the heiress of Don Alfonso Diablo Molina, who watches him get exhumed and freaking whipped as a corpse. And then they burn her. The Pope will hear of this.
The Pope is in Rome.
He's in Rome.
I also like the assault on the mother. Paul said the death of the stepmother, but
well, the whole thing.
The whole thing is great.
She's a cunt. She's there. Oh, everything God. That happened to her, she's there.
That best part is when she's trying to escape from the hallway. She feels a pain like that, and they're trying to use a saw to cut through
the hacksaw.
Ankle.
Yeah,
that hacksaw was fantastic.
Like a two-man saw.
Yeah,
only a smaller version.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Ow! I love the reaction, like, oh! And then they look down at what's going on, and it cuts to, this is fun.
She comes across as less in pain and more offended. How dare you touch me?
How dare you try to sever me at the ankle?
How dare you press me, Lutzwold Skye?
But I'm so happy to see that bitch go.
Something tells me that there was something else scripted there. That like there must have been, it came off like it was different from what they imagined.
Yeah, she said this look at her face like, "Ha, I'm gonna show you." Oh,
like, she jumps over them, and then it, like in mid jump, she's like, "I made a terrible mistake," you know, and goes through the window.
I
regret nothing.
I mentioned they underestimated how much the animation was going to cost and some of their stop motion stuff because that was taking a while. And I mentioned they thought, "Well, we can't film this. We got another 6 minutes to film and." Just we can't do it. Just jump out the window.
I'd have to say the one part that's kind of creepy was when she was coming through in the middle of the night with the baby carriage.
Yes.
And the one girl's hiding from her, and she looks, just as she's going around the corner, she's looking at what's in the baby carriage, and it's a baby doll. And this old woman singing to it. She's like, oh my God, what the fuck
am I
into?
Oh, that baby must have been an asshole.
I'm like, oh my God. Like, what the fuck is going on here? What is this old lady doing?
God, I think it was right. The little people. Fucking dolls!
And of course, the firing squad scene, they were not getting out of the way sooner. I mean, she sat in front of those soldiers for like 10, 15 seconds, like, oh, they're gonna shoot me. I suppose I should just step 3 feet.
I didn't think she expected live rounds to be coming.
I
think
she's gonna.
It was
one
shot.
Yeah. And then, like, she's hit with 4 or 5 bullets, and it's like, must flee. Second volley! dead. This film was shot before From Beyond, but all the doll work, the post-production doll work, took like 2 years to complete.
Yeah.
So it actually came out a year after From Beyond.
Yeah, some of the animation on the expressions were surprisingly well done. How emotive those dolls were.
I felt all of that stuff, like the stop motion and all the rest of it, I thought it was actually weirdly, weirdly endearing. Like, you don't see it anymore.
No.
Yeah,
like,
no.
Harryhausen
style shit.
Yeah. But it was really, really well done.
Yeah.
Like, really well done.
The more long distance shots where the dolls are in the background and you can see them moving, you can tell that they're obviously doing it in such a way that the actors are slightly out of shot so they get away with the slow motion stuff, but it looks really good.
Yeah.
Some of the makeup work under the doll faces looked really creepy. I thought if it was life size, that would have been really good makeup.
There was a few where it was just like,
yes, they were.
It was like the babushka, right? They just put one over the other.
Yeah,
but there was a one where they smashed the face and the eye of the doll was rolling around. You could see, and it was bubbling out the fucking juice.
Yeah.
So there's a few that they made that looked really good for the close-up.
Yeah. Reminded me of Gremlins.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought the exact same thing in the film.
Yeah, when so this, the doll's shell broke and it was looked like a monster. They look like gremlins.
I thought that exactly the film. Like, the scene, one of them falls face forward and his back splits open. And it literally looks like a spike or stripe or whatever, where it's all popping them off the back of them.
Yeah.
I must be hallucinating.
That means dreaming. You're not.
But how?
No! You're dead meat!
Your father sounds upset!
He looks upset too.
Killed Rosemary!
No, he didn't!
Yeah, no, he didn't.
Then who did?
No, little people. Look! I swear to God, mister, there are some crazy toys down there that can kill people!
Don't hand me that shit!
No, honest to God, I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen it, but they've captured me!
Oh, yeah? And why didn't they kill you?
I'm young at heart, I guess?
No!
I think the whole punch thing at the end with the dad was like what the fuck is that? Like, seriously.
You know, actually, the laughter of the punch doll reminded me of, remember Six Gun in Puppet Master?
Yeah. Where
he's going,
yeah.
That was it. It was the same kind of laugh.
Similar.
Yeah. That scene where they're doing the final fight with Mr. Punch in the workshop, and he tips the table over, and Mr. Punch runs out of the way. I watched that, and I'm like, I don't see a wire there. And I'm like, I think it has to be a process shot. I think Mr. Punch is...
Yeah, no. Well, I saw that shit was... That was all chroma key.
Yeah, it had to be, right?
Yeah.
But it starts out really well, where he initially tips the table over, Mr. Punch jumps up.
Yeah.
You know, and then he scatters out of the way.
Yeah.
The whole thing was done really, really well.
He's done to Judy's good friend, Mr. Punch.
I'll do the same to you, you old witch.
He figured it out.
A lucky guess, that's all.
I like at the end, he's like, you old witch? She's like, he figured it out.
It's a lucky guess.
You can destroy as many toys as you like, but you can't get rid of them all. Toys will be here for as long as children want them. They're the heart and soul of childhood. Hillary and I think the bitterness people feel as adults can turn to love if they surrender to the goodwill toys provide. Some people can be saved. We give everyone a sporting chance. But the others, like you, well, they have to start over and play a new role in the big game. And you still don't know what's happening, do you? You silly Mr. Punch.
Mischievous Mr. Punch. Always making trouble.
That was a good transformation.
Yeah, well, yeah.
In like three stages, right?
Yeah.
And again, editing. So it was like, okay, here we go. You only show from here up, and then it'll work, right? For the one scene, and then the whole thing with the big chin and the bald head.
For a brief moment when he turned, had like the big chin, just the briefest of moments, I thought of like Thunder from Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah. I don't think he's gonna stop.
What a little dickens you can be, my little Punch. Well, I must admit, you do look spiffier in your more contemporary clothing. Oh, I don't know. Don't you think it clashes with his more modern getup?
Guy Rolfe and his wife there. Hillary, you know what? I gave Eugene a hint of what we were doing. I said, it's the longest night in the world. And he looked it up and he figured it out. He's like, is it Dolls? I'm like, yes, that's what we're doing. So he went and watched this film, and I read his review of it, and he called them lovingly menacing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, you know what? That is perfect. That lovingly menacing these people.
Very out.
Yeah. Like, are they villains? Yes. Do I not like them? No. Like, I like these people. I'd sit down and have a cigar with him and eat her soup. No problem.
Yeah, Guy Rolfe comes across as incredibly charming. That's the only thing is that there's nothing in this movie for us to really be afraid of, because the people who deserve it get what's coming to them, and the supposed villains of the movie are the nicest people in the world.
Well, it's like you said at the beginning of the film, though, it's not one of those horror films.
It's,
you're not scared by anything.
You're not scared.
No. Shocked.
You're not.
This is UHF friendly.
Yeah. You know.
This is like about as family friendly of a horror film from the 80s that you could probably get.
Which is like what Nick said. This is why you get on a UHF.
Yes.
You know.
Ah, you're awake. Good. Steady, steady now. You've had an awful crack on the noggin.
Well, the dolls. The dolls. The dolls.
The killer dolls!
The what?
Dear. I do hope he hasn't got concussion.
Stephen Lee, I didn't know that he was dead. He died 2014 from something.
Heart attack.
Heart attack, yeah.
So I recognized him, but I'm like, where the heck am I?
He was a lot. He was on Seinfeld. He was a negotiator with Kevin Spacey.
He was one of the jailers in Pit of the Pendulum, another Stuart Gordon film, another Charles Band production, a couple of years after this one. That was like 1991. We already did a show for this.
What's this?
That's Teddy! He's my best friend next to you, I mean. Rosemary threw him away.
But what's he doing in here?
Remember what Mr. Gabriel said?
No.
Toys are loyal, and that's a fact.
And that little girl there, Judy, she's been a criminal defense attorney since 2003.
Really?
Well, yeah, I looked her up. She had a part in Poltergeist 2. She made a couple of films and then just kind of disappeared off the map, and she's a criminal defense.
She doesn't think all criminals should be murdered and then turned into dolls?
No.
They deserve their day in court.
She litigates. Yeah, she defends them in court.
Oh. Well, it's time we were heading back to the real world. Like now.
Will you be all right to drive?
Oh, yeah. I'm raring to go.
You know, you don't have to go if you don't want to.
We've grown quite fond of you. A child. And a child at heart.
You can stay here and play with our toys. For as long as you like. For as long as there are toys to play with.
Gee, thanks, but my mom would be worried. Is it okay if we come back and visit you next summer vacation?
Of course, darling. It will be our pleasure.
Write to us in advance, dear, and we'll get the house all dolled up for you.
Well, I think it's time we should be going.
I think this whole movie is bringing out the kid in all of us. We're all being silly.
I feel like a kid at heart. Let's play with toys.
Everybody.
Because if we don't, it means our fucking asses.
Such persistently quaint terminology.
We will score this film. We'll start with nude.
8.5.
8.5, wow, yeah. Big praise for nude.
I really, really liked it.
You would like it.
Why? Expand.
Just every aspect of it. It was not scary, but it was, some thrilling parts, some a little spooky parts. It was really good to see the parents die, and those girls, pieces of shit, die. And, it was just... The witch and the warlock, I think out of all types of mythology characters, those are my favorites. Especially now they're together. So it was my favorite aspect of the whole thing.
Give me a break.
I knew there was something weird about this place. The old man is probably a sex fiend.
Rosemary. And we'll go to Neek.
I'm going to give it a 7.
7?
Yeah. So I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. There were parts about it that I did like. It was a fucked up fairy tale.
Yes.
Yeah. It's, you know, there was, yeah, like you said, it's like snack size. You know, you can turn this on at any point and just finish watching it. Like there's no like complex narrative or story or character development that you really need. Like the people that they are at the beginning, are either dead or who they are at the end. Like, there's no grand path that people follow through. There's no character development. Yeah. So, like, it's junk food.
I got up to get a glass of water with Punch.
Wait. You wanted water and Punch?
No, I wanted water with Mr. Punch.
Come on, Judy. Get to the point, Judy. Come on.
Brian Stewart?
Well, Nick and I are in lockstep for once, so I was going to give it a 7. Not to say it's a bad film, but, I mean, apart from charming and fun, it comes across more as fluff than lasting. And I think it's a movie that I probably could put on right away and watch again. Mm-hmm. But if I were to stumble across it 5 or 6 years from now and kind of forgotten about it, I'd watch and enjoy it. So, but still, I like the spirit of the film. It's doesn't take itself very seriously, and you can tell the filmmakers were up to make an enjoyable movie, and I think they did.
Oh, Judy saw her getting dragged away by the
elves. And you believed her?
Joe!
Well, no. Congratulations, Ralph. We'll wake up that child that's inside you yet.
Nefarious Paul B.
I'm going to go with an 8.
An 8?
Yes. It's a lot of fun. Doesn't take ourselves too seriously. The people who deserve to die do. And the people who deserve to live get away.
It reminds me of, like, a really good episode of Tales from the Crypt. That's about its level, right?
See? I told you I got bit by that rat.
I didn't see any rats, just toys.
I'd give it an 8 as well. Like, I've seen it several times, and you're never bored throughout the film. And it's an easy watch, because like Nick said, you don't have to think about it. I mean, Charles Band, throughout the 80s, Charles Band collaborated with Brian Usna and Stuart Gordon for several films, and all of them are popular. Like, if you put this up against Reanimator and From Beyond, the old school horror fans would definitely take the first two over Dolls. But I'll be damned, like, here's a movie, like, if it's on, I'll watch it. It's 77 minutes, it's quick, you're never bored, there's something happened, there's no padding, not very much, it's boom, 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 and then it's morning.
It needed Jeffrey Combs somewhere, I don't care.
Where, though?
I don't know.
You know, like,
Stephen, one of the prostitute girls, that would have been it.
Tell me where the elves live.
My darling, elves live wherever they want to.
And there is the end of episode 77, folks. Dolls from 1987, directed by Stuart Gordon, starring Guy Rolfe, Stephen Lee, Ian Patrick Williams, Carolyn Purdy Gordon, Hilary Mason, and Carrie Lorraine as the little Judy Bauer. We hope you enjoyed the show. Apologies again for the horrible audio. You guys deserve better than that. Hopefully it wasn't too annoying. Not sure what's coming up next month yet. Nude and I are currently looking for another house, and summertime is always busy anyway. Nefarious Paul B has recently got himself a new job, but it's afternoons, which is horrible for our recording schedule. Hopefully we can work around him so we can continue to contribute to the Horror 101 show. It'd be a shame to lose him. We'll have to see what's going on. So, for the world-famous Brian Stewart, the cult sensation Nick McPherson, the nefarious Paul B., and my wife, the lovely Nude, this is Cash Wampum saying thanks again for joining us and reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just going to scare the hell out of you. And we're going to help you find it right here at Horror 101, educating your fears.
There is one God, one church, and all else is sin.
Watch your man, the priest.
I was going to say,
Yes.
Oh, the curse of the hag.
Shit.
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene.